Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Why Nations Fail: The Origins of Power, Prosperity, and Poverty is a 2012 work of comparative political economy by Darren Acemoglu and James A. Robinson. The book asks a large historical question: why do some nations become wealthy and stable while others remain poor, unequal, or violent? Its answer is that the decisive factor is not geography, culture, climate, or natural resources alone, but the quality of political and economic institutions. The authors distinguish between inclusive institutions, which broaden participation, protect property rights, and encourage innovation, and extractive institutions, which concentrate power and wealth in the hands of a narrow elite. Using examples from ancient and modern history, they argue that institutions shape incentives, determine who benefits from growth, and help explain persistent global inequality. The book is both a theory of development and a rebuttal to simpler explanations of national success. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book's central claim: institutions shape long-run prosperity. The core argument of why nations fail is that institutions, not geography or culture, are the main force behind economic outcomes. Acemoglu and Robinson reject explanations that treat poverty as the result of bad luck, climate, religion, or a nation's location. Instead, they argue that the rules governing political power and economic activity determine whether a society can accumulate wealth over time. When institutions protect property, support participation, and allow broad access to markets, people have incentives to invest, innovate, and plan for the future. When institutions are designed to enrich a small elite, the broader population has little reason to produce more than necessary, and growth becomes fragile. This framing is important because it shifts the discussion from blaming countries or cultures to examining how power is organized. The book therefore presents development as an institutional problem rather than a purely technical one, which makes its analysis relevant not only to economists, but also to political scientists and policymakers. Secondly, inclusive and extractive institutions as the book's main analytical framework. A major contribution of the book is its clear institutional taxonomy. Inclusive institutions are those that create a level playing field, allow competition, protect private property, and give broad segments of society a stake in economic life. They also depend on political pluralism, meaning that power is not monopolized by a single ruler, party, or elite group. Extractive institutions work in the opposite direction. They centralize decision-making, limit competition, and use the economy to transfer resources upward to a narrow minority. The authors show that economic institutions cannot remain inclusive for long unless political institutions are also inclusive, because political power ultimately determines the rules of the economy. This relationship gives the book its distinctive logic. Prosperity is not just about markets existing, but about who controls them and whether ordinary people can participate. The framework is useful because it connects legal rights, political authority, and growth into one explanation rather than treating them as separate issues. Thirdly, historical comparison as evidence. From Rome to Korea and beyond, the book relies heavily on historical comparison to support its thesis. Rather than presenting a purely theoretical model, the authors examine cases across time and region, including ancient Rome, the Maya, the Soviet Union, colonial societies, and modern North and South Korea. These comparisons are meant to show that similar geography or culture can produce radically different outcomes when institutions differ. The two Koreas are one of the book's most memorable examples because they share language, history, and many cultural features, yet they diverge dramatically after being placed under different political systems. North Korea illustrates an extractive order that suppresses freedom and innovation, while South Korea represents a more inclusive path that enabled industrial growth. The authors use this method to challenge the idea that poverty is permanent or natural. Their comparisons are not just illustrative. They are part of the argument that institutional change can redirect national trajectories. This historical style makes the book broad in scope and ambitious in method, even when readers may debate the selection or interpretation of cases. Fourthly, why political power matters more than policy advice alone. Another important theme is that policy reforms fail when they ignore the underlying political structure of a country. The authors suggest that bad policies are often symptoms of deeper institutional arrangements, rather than the root cause of underdevelopment. A government may announce market reforms, infrastructure plans, or anti-poverty programs, but if political power remains concentrated, elites can block competition, capture rents, and reverse reform when threatened. This is why the book places so much emphasis on the distribution of power and the existence of checks on authority. Inclusive political institutions, in their account, create a more durable basis for economic inclusion because they limit arbitrary rule and make it harder for elites to monopolize opportunity. The book also stresses that extractive systems may produce short bursts of growth, but they are usually unstable because they depend on coercion rather than innovation. This helps explain why development is not simply a matter of adopting the right policy package. Instead, it requires institutions that make good policies politically sustainable over time. Lastly, a broad theory of development with real-world relevance and limits. Why nations fail stands out because it connects historical scholarship, economics, and political theory into one explanation of global inequality. Its relevance extends beyond academic debate because it helps readers think about contemporary issues such as authoritarian growth models, reform in developing countries, and the durability of prosperity in established democracies. The book is especially valuable for readers who want a large-scale explanation that is more structural than personal and more political than purely economic. At the same time, its breadth is also a limitation. The argument is ambitious, and some readers find the long sequence of examples repetitive or think that institutional explanations can be difficult to apply cleanly to every case. Even so, the book remains influential because it offers a coherent alternative to simpler theories of development. It asks readers to consider not just how wealth is produced, but who has the power to shape the rules of production. That makes it one of the most widely discussed books on inequality and nation building in recent decades. In conclusion, Why Nations Fail is best suited for readers interested in economic development, political economy, history, and the causes of global inequality. It will be especially useful for students, policymakers, business readers, and general readers who want a serious explanation of why nations diverge so sharply in wealth and stability. Its main practical value is conceptual. It trains readers to look beyond surface-level explanations and ask how institutions shape incentives, protect or suppress innovation, and distribute power. Intellectually, the book is useful because it combines a strong theory with a wide range of historical examples, making it more ambitious than many standard economics books. What differentiates it from similar works is its insistence that inclusive political institutions are the foundation of sustained prosperity, not merely a side effect of it. That argument gives the book a clear identity and a lasting place in debates about development, state building, and inequality. Even readers who disagree with parts of its thesis are likely to come away with a sharper way of thinking about national success and failure. If you would like to support Daron Acemoglu, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.